Welcome to the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. I'm Janelle Davis. In music, as in life, time moves ever forward, the present moment always looking to the future. But there is value in considering what came before. What was the foundation? What is the lineage and the mystery of the past? How is it all connected? A wonderfully conceived program from Ensemble Aurora, released this year on the Arcana label, traces our musical roots with an exploration of the development of counterpoint. Titled On the Shoulders of Giants, the recording builds a timeline of the ancients, Mozart, and before him Bach, and before him Castello, Corelli, Rosenmuller, Frescobaldi, and before them even Orlando di Lasso and Palestrina. Ensemble Aurora is a somewhat flexible ensemble, adding or subtracting players based on the needs of the repertoire at hand. For this project, the entire program is performed by a finely tuned string quartet with violinist Enrico Gatti and Rossella Croce, Sebastiano Airoldi on viola, and Judith Maria Blomsterberg, who plays the cello. Now, the majority of the composers I mentioned a moment ago never composed for string quartet. The ensemble of two violins, a viola, and a cello wasn't exactly prominent until Joseph Haydn in the late 18th century. So no, you didn't miss anything in Music History 101. Palestrina and Frescobaldi and Lasso didn't write any string quartets. Even though they use 18th century period instruments, Ensemble Aurora makes a point to say that their inspiration for the program did not necessarily stem out of a desire for early music authenticity. Instead, the pieces on this recording are in large part arrangements of vocal works or keyboard compositions or of otherwise flexibly scored pieces. Here, Ensemble Aurora plays a string quartet arrangement of a 16th century Lasso chanson. If it is really disconcerting to have a string quartet performing Lasso, just remember that purely instrumental music in its early days was modeled or adapted from vocal music, though viols or sackbuts or recorders might have been the more usual suspects for instrument choice. But Ensemble Aurora performs these pre-string quartet genre Renaissance pieces in their quartet configuration precisely because they represent the roots of the string quartet repertory. The revival of classical antiquity and the rebirth of Platonic philosophies and Pythagorean principles during the Renaissance was reflected in music in the developing counterpoint of the 15th and 16th centuries, the significance of which extended through the Baroque and well into the proper 18th century string quartet heyday of Mozart and Haydn. Moving from the Renaissance Orlando di Lasso to early Baroque, Ensemble Aurora plays one of Dario Castello's early 17th century Book II sonatas, originally scored for harpsichord or organ, with diversi instrumenti, with various instruments. I must admit that I really do miss the keyboard continuo in this version, but you can almost overlook that given the context of the recording as a whole and the quartet's stylish and tasteful approach to the music. after the Renaissance offerings, listeners find themselves in the land of Corelli on this recording with a four-voiced fugue that was published posthumously. From there, by way of a movement from Bach's musical offering, Ensemble Aurora plays some true string quartet repertoire. Here's some of Mozart's G major string quartet, K387. We've been hearing some of the fugue of Mozart's K387 from his Opus 10 works dedicated to Joseph Haydn, a composer sometimes called the father of the string quartet. This hour-long recording passes with hardly noticing the time, and then you want to hit the repeat button. Rest assured, there's lots of pleasure to be had in just putting on the CD and listening, but this is also one of those recordings that's really worth the whole package. You'll really miss a lot if you only download the tracks, so make sure you get the booklet too. The essay with the program is more than biographical information about the composers that you might be able to look up on Wikipedia. Instead, you'll get a sense of the DNA of the music and likely find yourself connecting these particular composers in a very different way. With that in mind, we're going to extend the line from Palestrina and Lasso, Costello and Bach and Mozart and Haydn, even a little further with another new recording. This one, the string quartets of Ignaz Pleyel, performed by the Pleyel Quartet Kulm and released by CPO Records in 2014. Pleyel wrote around 60, but maybe close to 80, string quartets, depending on how you count or catalog them. And he really churned them out. Most of those quartets were composed in the 10 years between 1782 and 1792. I'm not sure that I would call Pleyel's music groundbreaking, but it is well-written and elegant and imaginative and good music to enjoy, with often unexpected turns of harmony and interesting bits of rhythm. I've got high praise for the performers, too. The playing is clean and clear, it's easy and naive in the good sense of the word. They use almost no vibrato at times, to great effect, something that can only be achieved with a tight ensemble and impeccable intonation. What separates mediocre humdrum string quartet repertory from interesting and engaging pieces are, in my opinion, the attention to the melodies and voicing of the inner parts. This is something I'm happy to notice in Pleyel's writing. Although at times we do get three oompahs accompanying a solo first fiddle, more often than not, parts are more evenly distributed between the voices of the quartet, with good interest and interplay between them. Sometimes even the viola gets a nice thematic solo. Thank you. Pleyel was a student of Haydn, so it's no wonder that, like Haydn, Pleyel wrote so many string quartets. By one count, Pleyel had 250 publishers putting out some 2,000 editions of his work. It turns out that Pleyel's music was very popular, not only in Europe, but in America as well. A lot of copies of his quartets landed on the other side of the pond, and the 19th century whaling port of Nantucket, Massachusetts, even formed a Pleyel Society in 1822. Some of today's biggest champions of Pleyel's music are the Pleyel Quartet Clone, made up of Marie Deller, Andreas Gerhardus, Milena Schuster, and Ingeborg Schürer. Let's hear music by the ensemble's namesake once more. Here's some of a really fun rondo from Pleyel's Prussian Quartet No. 2, dedicated to the cello-playing, music-loving Wilhelm II on his coronation to the throne of Prussia in 1786. That's it for this time. If you'd like to know more about the recordings we featured today, you can find them on our website, harmoniaearlymusic.org. While you're there, have a look at our archive of blogs, podcasts, and shows, and check out our online shop, where a portion of your purchase will benefit Harmonia. This has been the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. I'm Janelle Davis. Thanks for listening.